Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful to be here tonight. And I'm really glad that Sue is with us again tonight. And I thank God for what He's done in her heart. We did have a beautiful study together on Monday. And just so thankful. You know, that hunger and thirst for righteousness that the Lord puts deep within a person. Oh my, that's how we get here. You know, that's how we get to God. You know, without that, we can't please Him. But praise the Lord, you know, the Lord knows how to call us. He knows how to get our attention, how to stop us dead in our tracks, whatever it's needed to. You know, help us to realize who He is and our great, great need for Him. Oh, praise the Lord. We do serve a wonderful God. What a privilege, you know, we were singing about His name there in some of our choruses, and you know, how many times has it been when we had maybe but a second to call out that name, Jesus, and how amazing that name is, you know, the authority, the power in that name, and praise the Lord, you know, many times that's all we have time to say, and maybe not even that, maybe it's just in the heart at some times, but you know how we need Him every moment of the day. Oh my, I know Big Jane was telling me the other day, she was going home and in her car and on 151, and you know, all at once a deer ran in front of her. And it was close from what she told me. She was just very grateful that there was hardly any traffic otherwise on the road at that moment. But, you know, we never know these circumstances that arise. And you know, suddenly everything can be different. But, yes, the Lord is with His people. And how many times has He saved us from some terrible thing that could have easily have happened. And praise the Lord. Yeah, just calling on that name. I remember years ago, just my oldest daughter, she was just a little one, just barely walking, it seems like, at that moment. And somehow we were on the front porch there, and all at once she began to fall down those steps, you know, these cement. But, you know, as I watched that, I cried the name Jesus. And, you know, it's like her head never touched those steps. She ended at the bottom with no injury. And all I could think is those angels of the Lord were there to catch her all the way down to cushion that fall. And just to think, you know, that mighty ability we have. If we know the Lord, that authority, that power that is in the Lord Jesus. And, you know, He's always there. It's not like, you know, we have to go to a certain place to find Him. You know, we have to, you know, crawl under a bed or, you know, do some crazy thing to find the Lord. No, He's right there. You know, if you just call upon Him, you just reach out, you know, and let Him touch you. He's right there. Praise the Lord, that ever-present help in the time of need. Thank God, that's our Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, He's not far from every one of us, you know. Paul told those people there on Mars Hill there, boy, many years ago. But thank God if we can reach out in faith. Oh, yes, we can touch the hem of His garment. Oh, yes, and be healed. Oh, be saved, be delivered. Whatever is needed, the Lord is able to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this opportunity. Oh, God, we're not many in number here, but Lord, we know that Your promise is that where two or three are gathered together in Your name, that You would be in our midst. And here we are, Lord, to sing Thy praises and to give You our hearts. And, oh, God, to hear of Thy word. And I pray that You talk to us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You move in us. God, I pray that You change us, Lord, that You help us to be what we ought to be in You, Lord. Oh God, that You'd help us to draw nigh to You. And oh God, that we could put on Christ. Oh Lord, that we could become, oh Lord, Thy child in word and in deed. I pray that You'd help us here tonight. I pray that You talk to us. Oh God, God, I pray that the devil would be removed. And, oh, God, every work of darkness, pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you'd help us, oh, God, to draw nigh to you, Lord, with all our hearts, and that you'd speak to our souls. Oh, God, for we are poor and needy. We need you, Jesus. We can do nothing without you. We need you here tonight. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you give me the authority and the ability, oh, Lord, the anointing that I need, oh, Lord, to bring forth this word. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are here. Oh, God, thank you that you are moving. I pray that you meet the needs of your people, Lord. Not only we who are here, but, Lord, those online. Oh, God, that you'd speak, oh, Lord, and encourage and give faith, Lord. Oh, God, that those mountains would be removed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about our Lord here tonight and titling this, Because He Lives. And what a difference our God has made. Oh, yes, in our hearts. We know that He is real. We know that we can touch Him. Oh, my, we know who He is when we become His sons and daughters. And what a privilege it is. What a wonderful ability it is, a gift it is to reach out and touch the very living God and know that He's here among us. But I'll tell you what, we're going to just talk here a few minutes as we get into this message about the depravity of man. And, you know, this is a subject that, you know, many maybe don't see and understand. You know, when I was young, I think it was maybe in the early 60s or so, maybe even in the 50s, later 50s possibly, you know, this movement that God is dead came upon the land. And I'll tell you what, you know, what a terrible, you know, thought. You know, we so need God. Oh, my. And if people could only understand how wonderful it is to call out to Him and to know that He's real, to have Him as our Lord and Savior. But nevertheless, this movement began. And, you know, people were declaring such. In fact, that wonderful song, God's Not Dead, He's Alive, that came around, I think, there in the 60s. But anyway, you know, people have all these assumptions, you know, and some have thought that God sleeps. The deists have, you know, assumed that, you know, God created the earth, they would say, but, you know, he's just sleeping at this point. He doesn't care. He just put it into orbit or whatever, and you know, now he's, you know, not paying any attention. And, you know, there's people that, you know, just say that, you know, there's a little good in everyone, and, you know, we just, you know, have to lift up the good and all of that, and, you know, people that think that God winks at sin and all of that sort of thing. I'm okay, you're okay, all these little cliches that, you know, people mutter at times or think in their hearts. I mean, we've been taught a lot of things that aren't exactly correct, especially when we start examining the Word of God. But let's just go to Psalms 14 here for a few minutes. Psalms, the 14th chapter here, praise the Lord. And here it tells us, in Psalms chapter 14, it says in verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And it tells us in verse 2 here in chapter 14, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And can you just imagine this? God examining the hearts of His creation, the hearts of mankind, and just looking at them all to see, was there even one that did understand? Was there even one that did seek God of their own volition, of their own will? It tells us here in verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." And you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of walking with the Lord to realize how depraved man is. And what a predicament this is, because, you know, the assumptions that people make that, you know, I'm better than Joe down the street, you know, I'm sure God will, you know, allow me into heaven because, you know, I didn't go shoot somebody, or, you know, I didn't, you know, stretch the truth too badly, or whatever all, you know, or I'm certainly better than, you know, that other person. And so it is, all the hypocrisy of mankind. But is that the way God sees it? Oh my, it tells us, if we'll just examine a little more scripture here, if we go to Isaiah chapter 64 here. It tells us in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 64, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Oh, there is a problem with sin. People don't often get it, but you know, in the sight of God, we are all as an unclean thing. Without the Lord, what can we do? Oh, we might attempt to be good. We might attempt to do nice things. But in the sight of the Lord, if our heart hasn't been changed by the power of the living God, we are as an unclean thing. And it tells us all our own righteousnesses, all those things that we would try to do of our own self, it says they are like filthy rags. That's how God sees our own works. And, you know, as a leaf we do fade, you know, our life is short, it's temporary. You know, it doesn't take too many years to realize how time goes, how quickly it vanishes. But thank the Lord, we can call upon the Lord. Oh, we can have a hope in eternity, a place, oh yes, where, oh yes, we will live forever. And there'll be no sin. But also, turning to chapter 59 here for a few verses here in Isaiah. It says in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." In other words, you know, there's nothing wrong with God. His hand isn't too short that he can't reach out and save that person. Or no, his ear isn't all plugged up. It's not too heavy that he can't hear those cries. But there's a problem. It says, "But your iniquities," in verse 2, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." See, there is a problem with sin. It's a transgression of the law. It goes against the laws of God. And it separates us from God. When Adam and Eve were first created, they walked with God in that paradise, that Garden of Eden that he had created. And all was well. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was perfect. There was no sin. And you know, there was no death. And you know, I know the animals were tame. And you know, they got along. And there were no problems. There were, you know, there was no sickness. You know, all was so well. But when sin entered into the world, God put curses on his creation. You know, the man was cursed. The woman was cursed. She was going to have to bring forth children in travail. And you know, man was going to have to work by the sweat of his brow, because now the earth was going to bring forth briars and weeds and, you know, all kinds of disagreeable things that would not have hindered otherwise. And death began at that moment. Oh, they didn't instantly, you know, fall down dead. But oh yes, death began to work in their cells, you know, internally, you know, that work of death, that, you know, duration of life began to be affected there because sin had come into the world. And what a problem it was. Oh, what a need it was, because now they no longer had communion with God. God had walked with them in the cool of the evening. They had fellowship with the Creator, you know, every day, every evening there. But that changed. Oh, yes, they were chased out of that garden. And oh, yes, everything was affected by that sin. And yes, it was passed on down, you know, to their children, to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren, through all the generations, all this terrible problem of sin. But praise the Lord, there was a promise that was also given them. Oh yes, in the midst of all of that, God said to them, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And yes, he was talking about, oh yes, as he brought those words to the serpent that had caused the woman to sin initially. You know, the serpent, oh, the devil that was embedded in that serpent. That serpent was cursed. Oh yes, I believe it talked. I believe it was a very clever creature. I believe it walked on its feet. But it was cursed, and it was going to eat dust of days of its existence. But there was going to be an enmity, oh yes, that then would grow between the devil and the woman. And you know, the seed of God. And you know, the seed that would walk in the other way, in opposition to God. But there was a promise here that head of that serpent, that head of the devil was going to be bruised. Oh yes, the heel of Jesus Christ, you could say, was wounded. But the head of the devil was wounded at Calvary. Oh yes, there was a fatal blow that was given to him. Oh yes, because yes, he was cast out of heaven. He could no longer have access there. And oh yes, he was doomed for the pit of hell. And oh yes, he would attempt to allure people and yes, tempt them in every way he could. Oh, there is that final judgment that will come forth. And that head is bruised. And it is fatal. Oh yes, as God's children, we can trample the works of the devil. Oh yes, we were told that, you know, we can trample the serpent and the scorpion. And that nothing shall by any means hurt us. In other words, as the children of God, we have authority over the works of the devil, of the works of the serpent. All of that, we have authority, and it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord for the power that He has given us as His children. That blood that Jesus Christ shed there on the cross prevails. Oh yes, that blood was sufficient to take away our sins. Oh yes, that blood is sufficient to make us His sons and daughters. Oh yes, and to bring us into the wonderful place that He is. Oh yes, He's prepared for those that love Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are so blessed to be the children of the Lord. Oh, we are so blessed to know the Lord. Oh, yes, and yes, Isaiah 59. It wasn't, yes, because the Lord's hand was too short to save. It wasn't because His ear was too heavy to hear. But it was the sin that separated man from his God. That sin hid God's face from them so He would not hear. When that sin is not pardoned, when it doesn't, oh, ye come to repentance, that heart can be hardened. And I'll tell you what, God despises that. It separates from God, just as Adam and Eve were separated from God in the garden because of sin. Sin, likewise, still separates man and woman boy and girl from God. But praise the Lord, you know, God made a way. And all this whole 59th chapter of Isaiah is wonderful. But I don't suppose I have time to read the whole thing. But let's just go to verse 14. Oh, it's talking about this world. Oh, yes, how it is and how it was. Oh, yes, it says in verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. I'll tell you what, that's what we're seeing right now. You know, where's the truth? Where do you find it? Oh, yes, it's the truth that sets us free. That sets us free from sin. But where's the truth? It's fallen in the streets. Oh, most ministers are not proclaiming it. Oh, it's been discarded in many cases. It's been covered up. You know, it's been, you know, down to, you know, mean very little. And it talks about equity. You know, it's no longer there. It cannot enter. It says in verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. He's talking about his righteous judgment. Everybody doing what they wanted to do, their own little thing. Be it good, be it bad. It's according to their ways, according to their thoughts. You know, they decide this is okay. They decide this is not okay. But I'll tell you what, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is the way of death. That's the way it is. You know, it's either right or it's wrong. It's according to God's judgment. It's according to God's way. And here was the state of fallen man. No, truth falleth. You know, equity cannot answer. And he that would depart from evil made himself a prey. Oh, God saw it. It displeased him. There was no judgment. And what did our God do? Tells us in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, nobody to intervene for the fallen state of man just walking in his own ways, no way to be forgiven of any permanent duration. He wondered that there was no intercessor. But praise the Lord, it says, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained him. And we're talking about Almighty God. What did he do? Oh, he came as the arm of God to this world as an extension. Oh, yes. Oh, because, yes, there was a need. There was a cause. There was something that needed to be done. It tells us, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, our God, Almighty God, robed himself in flesh. Oh, yes, to make intercession for the people. Oh, to make a way of escape. Oh, a way to get out of this predicament of sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. He came to this world. Oh, yes. His arm. Oh, brought forth salvation. Praise the Lord. That flesh of the Lord. Yes, coming to this world. Jesus Christ, the arm of God. Praise the Lord. It says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Oh, bringing back that which was just and right, you know, vengeance where it belonged, salvation where they would cry out. It says in verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Oh, praise the Lord. This is a beautiful scripture. You know, oh, what the Lord has done for us. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, he tries, you know, to flood us out at times. You know, and just to make things so hard and so hot and, you know, so wild that, you know, we think we can't, you know, get out of it. But praise the Lord has made a way for his people. Oh, yes, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, we can call on that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can reach out to the Mighty One. Praise the Lord and know that he will save us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord lifts up a standard against the adversary. Praise the Lord. We can call upon him. We can claim those promises. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It tells us in verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, those that will come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Praise the Lord. That's a promise of the Lord if we just come to him. Oh, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And praise the Lord, he did, didn't he? Oh, our Lord came to this world. Oh, yes, he came to save us from our sins. This problem that we have, these sins, how do you get rid of them? You know, they're on my back. How do I get rid of these sins? Oh, the blood of bulls and goats, it was a temporary fix for, you know, just a little while to cover that which was past. But then there was a need again. And again, and again, and again. But Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God. Oh, yes, the perfect Lamb of God. Without blemish, without spot. Oh, living, you know, that perfect life. Putting himself under his own law. And keeping it. Oh, praise the Lord, so that... Oh, yes, he could make atonement for sin. Oh, so that we could be saved of our transgressions. Oh, yes, so that we could find the living waters. Oh, praise the Lord to be rescued out of the depths of sin. Oh, and live in victory. Those sins, those trespasses, those things, oh, that hindered us. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in John, the 5th chapter, as Jesus is proclaiming the words of life, it tells us here in verse 19, John, the 5th chapter, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Oh, God robed in flesh, you know, the Spirit of the living God upon him. And it says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Oh, the mighty works of our God. Oh, robed in flesh here as the Son of God come to this world. It says, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even the soul, the Son, quickeneth whom he will. And that word quicken means to make alive. Oh, it tells us in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, we had no hope. We were without God. We were without hope in this world. But praise the Lord, the graciousness of God, the goodness of the Lord, showing us our need to repent and turn from our evil ways. And praise the Lord, making a way that we could bow our knees to him and surrender our hearts and come unto him. And praise the Lord, he takes that deadness, oh, that deadness, you know, the life, because the life that we're talking about is the everlasting life that Jesus Christ offers. And you don't get it by being born the first time. You're not born in that state. No. Oh, Nicodemus was told when he came to Jesus by night, there's a need. You must be born again. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Lord made a way. Oh, yes. Oh, you know, Nicodemus was confused. Did I enter again the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Well, no. That's not what the Lord was talking about, is it? No, he made a way that, yes, we could give him a heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he would change our hearts, our stony old hearts, those hardened hearts, you know, those sinful hearts. He would change that old man in us, you know, and make us alive, that he would quicken us. And that's what he does. And yes, oh, we come to him in faith. And, you know, we surrender our hearts. Oh, the deadness of sin, you know, that sin that's going to lead us to hell. When it is finished, it's going to bring forth death. And that's eternal damnation, that death. But praise the Lord knows how to quicken us, to make us alive. And praise the Lord, what does he do? He puts his spirit within us. Oh, it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He's going to judge us one of these days. We're all going to stand before him. It says in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Interesting verse there, you know. I mean, there's some people that, you know, are assumed that they can be saved without Jesus Christ. I say not. Oh, no. There is no way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And here it tells us, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Oh, there is no way except that you believe that I am he, Jesus told them. You shall all likewise perish. And then he says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. That's what it means when we give our life to the Lord. We die of our sins. You know, we give them over to the Lord. We repent. We turn them over to him. Praise the Lord, and that can be compared, passing from death unto life. It tells us in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, praise the Lord, as he was presenting the kingdom of God to those that would hear him. As Jesus walked this earth, oh yes, he was declaring the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He's talking about that voice that speaks to our heart. He's talking about taking us from the deadness of this world. And those that hear that voice, oh, that, you know, that voice that stands at the heart's door and knocks. Oh, yes, let me in. Stands at the door and knocks. Would you let me in? Would you turn your life over to me? Oh, yes, I give you hope. Will you let me in? Let me in. Let me in. Oh, that voice cries. The voice of the Son of God. And praise the Lord if we turn to the living God, if we hear that voice and surrender our heart and give it over to our God, he gives us life. He gives us eternal life. That is what that scripture is about. It's about, oh yes, how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But how beautiful it is. Oh, yes, that scripture there in Ephesians, the second chapter. Just turning to it at the moment. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, those that have surrendered their heart, it says, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's how we were before we knew the Lord, dead in our trespasses and sin. You know, just doing the things that we wanted to do in our own sinful lust, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, and by nature, the children of wrath. Oh, yes, condemned. But praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 4 here, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know what? That's a wonderful thing. We have been dead. We've been out there. You know, we've been wandering around, you know, not knowing the way. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, for the Word of God that came to us so that we could turn and give our hearts to the Lord. And praise the Lord, we obeyed the gospel. Oh, that's repentance from our dead works, turning our life over to the Lord, obeying the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And praise the Lord, he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, is there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, as they receive the promise of the Father. Oh, yes, as he came to make his abode with them. Oh, yes, as they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, they were changed people after that moment. Oh, Peter was so changed, you know, just those few days before. He denied Jesus Christ. He didn't have strength, to stand up for his Lord, even though he said he would. He said he would die for him. He told Jesus that, but Jesus knew, no, before the cock crows, you know, twice, you're going to deny me three times. And he did, didn't he? But praise the Lord, we see after the Holy Ghost came in, oh, yes, after that quickening power that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's how it explains it in the 8th chapter of Romans, that the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Oh, praise the Lord, the Spirit of the living God. That is a resurrecting power that he puts within us. Oh, yes, so that it is coming. We will be raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, to walk with him forever. Oh, yes, to inherit eternal salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he's done for us. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Here we are. We've been quickened. Oh, it says here, it hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We get a little taste of heaven down here. Oh, praise the Lord. His presence comes down. You know, when you give over to him, come on, you worship him. You praise him. You let him have his way. What are we singing about when we say, let go, let God have his wonderful way? We're talking about giving it over to the Lord. Letting him work in our hearts, you know, to change us. And praise the Lord. Oh, he raises us up together. Oh, yes, the children of the Lord. What a privilege it is to shout and sing, to worship our God because, oh, yes, he's redeemed us. Oh, we sit together. We sit together. Praise the Lord in heavenly places where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in their midst. He's walking here tonight. Our God is here tonight. He is walking among us. Oh, we can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. Oh, the Almighty One. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise thy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ages to come, you know, it's going to be one perpetual, wonderful walk with the Lord. There, the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us. His kindness, what he did for us, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might be his redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, we could not have merited salvation. We could have never have done enough good works to merit salvation. But praise the Lord, our God made a way for us that we could believe upon the saving name of our Lord and Savior Christ. Oh, we could embrace Him. We could embrace His promises. We could fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. We could turn our hearts, our life, our soul over to Him in repentance. And praise the Lord, He takes those sins. Oh, praise the Lord, He takes those sins. He forgives us our sins, our trespasses. Oh, in the waters of baptism, those sins are buried. They are remitted. There is no more price or penalty for sin. They are forgiven. And you know, it's not by our own works, by any means, as the scripture declares. And then in verse 10 it says, for we are His workmanship. Do you know what that means? He takes us and He begins to create a new person in us, you know. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's where the Lord, He begins to take us. And, you know, He whittles away this, He whittles away that. You know, He begins to shift our thinking and our thought process. And, you know, all those fears, all those doubts, you know, all those evil things that we once did. And maybe the way we talked at one point, oh, He begins to take that away from us. Oh, it's all got to go in the name of Jesus. You know, all those cigarettes that we maybe smoked or whatever, all that booze that we were addicted to and all those filthy things that we once did. Oh my, the Lord takes it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, we become His workmanship. Oh, His creation, His sons and daughters. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yeah, He puts it within us to want to do good, doesn't He? You know, to do the things that please Him, to help our brothers and sisters. That's what He puts in our hearts, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We walk in His ways. We walk in His footsteps. We want to do the things that please Him. We want to do the things that will help our brother or our sister, you know, that man down the street or whoever. All we want to declare the mighty works of God. That's what He puts within us, that light that was in Christ Jesus. Oh, we were so wretched. We were so out there. It says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. And He's talking to Gentile people that were not part of a commonwealth of Israel, that had not been partakers in the first covenant. But God reaching out, that second covenant reaches out to all people. Oh yeah, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free, for ye are all one in Christ. That's what the new covenant does. It reached out so that we could all come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, that's how we wandered. We might have thought, you know, we had some sparks and some happy moments and maybe pleasure and this and that. And you know, there are pleasures in sin for a season, the scripture tells us. And you know, hopefully we did have some happy moments and all that sort of thing. But we didn't have that hope of eternal life at that point. We were separated from God till that life was given over to Him. So there we were wandering in our trespasses and sins, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh my, it's so wonderful to see. It's so wonderful to have the blinders off so that, you know, we can see. It's the goodness of the Lord that brings a person to repentance. The second chapter of Romans tells us, you know, it's His goodness that helps us to see the misery of sin and where it's going to take us. Oh, we have so much to be grateful for. You know, the mighty hand of God that has saved us, that has helped us, that has brought us to this place. You know, I'm not quite finished there in Ephesians. But it tells us in James, the first chapter, in verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." But here's the process of sin here. It says, but every man is tempted or enticed, you could say, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, this is the way of sin. You know, the temptations and, you know, being tempted isn't the sin. But, you know, it draws people away. And if they give in, they're drawn of their own lust and enticed, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. See, if you give in to that temptation and go ahead and do it, you're going to bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it tells us, bringeth forth death. And what it's talking about again is that eternal damnation, that separation from God, that's death, eternal death, where there's no hope, where there's no light, where you're in the darkness, where you're in the lake of fire. I'll tell you what, we need to preach it here. Oh yes, there is a way that God made so that we don't have to walk in the lust thereof. That 16th verse there in James, the first chapter, says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Oh, you know, people want to just think, you know, a little sin isn't going to destroy me, you know. And you know what? You give into a little sin today, you probably are going to give into a lot more sin tomorrow. You know, it gets bigger and bigger. If it's conceived, it's going to grow, you know, like leaven, you know, it's going to explode, you know, a little leaven is a whole lump, you know, and pretty soon just a little lump is going to be very big. But thank God He made a way out. Oh, yes, back here in Ephesians, that second chapter, it tells us in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made nigh, close, by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. You know, He's talking about those that were under the old covenant and those that were under the new covenant. He has brought it all together. So now there's just one covenant, one way of salvation, one way to God. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that which separated us. That partition is broken. It is down. We can now enter into the holiest of holies. And praise the Lord. That's right. You know, there was that veil there that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. And you know what? What happened when Jesus was on that cross, when He gave up the ghost? That veil was rent in twain. Oh, that partition was no longer there to separate us. That Ark of the Covenant that had been behind there, I don't believe was still there at the time of Jesus' life, but anyway, that Ark that had been a part of the tabernacle plan represented the presence of the Lord. It is separated. It was separated. Only the high priest could enter in once a year, and he had to do it very exactly, very precisely, very carefully, and wash in the laver first, and be clean, and follow every detail precisely. But that partition has been brought down, because now we can enter into that place where God is. We can enter into the place where His presence is. We can cry out to Him, oh, knowing that He will hear us. Oh, yes, knowing that He will make intercession for us. That veil is gone, that partition that separated us from His presence has been taken away. It's been broken down. Says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law, the commandments contained in ordinances, those things that no man could really follow there, those ordinances, that were contrary to us. That enmity, that separation has been broken down. It has been, it says, abolished. So it's no longer there. For to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. Oh, praise the Lord. New creature in Christ. That's what he did. And that he might reconcile both unto God, both Jews and Greeks, both male and female, both bond and free, bring everybody together, reconciling by one plan. By his precious blood, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, the thing that separated us was no longer there. And he came and preached peace to you that were afar off. Oh, maybe we were a long ways off. Oh, yes, from the commonwealth of Israel. But praise the Lord, that wonderful gospel message. Here we are tonight, 2,000 years, from the happenings, when Jesus Christ gave his life. Here we are, all these ages downward, and yet, praise the Lord, that blood still prevails. We can still have access to that holy place. We can still come to the Lord. Oh, yes, he broke that enmity, that thing that separated us. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, those that were close, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks, it tells us, but reconciling both. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And it says in verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh yes, when he puts his Spirit in our hearts, we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, the dwelling place. A temple is a dwelling place. And so we become his temple. His dwelling place. He puts his Spirit in us so that he might dwell in us and walk in us and talk to us. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful plan, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, we all are joint heirs with Christ. And, you know, it's built on that foundation that was established by Jesus Christ. That foundation when Peter recognized, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the foundation, that principle, that fact that, oh, Jesus was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Son of the living God, and He has come. Oh, yes, we're not living in darkness. He has come. The light has shone. And here we are at this time period. Oh, yes, part of the building, fitly joined together. That means, you know, all of us, the whole family of God is the building of God, fitly joined together. Praise the Lord, as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise the Lord, the Spirit that He gives all of us. We have those connections, praise the Lord. It's built upon that foundation. Oh, yes. Oh, established by Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, and then built by the prophets and the apostles, praise the Lord, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people, saying, this is the rest wherein He shall call the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, as it says in Isaiah 28. Yet they would not hear, but praise the Lord, that's what our God has done for us. Oh, praise the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We love You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to John, the 14th chapter. Yes, we were there, Susan, together Monday. But not sure. I think we started a little earlier tonight, so I take it I have another few minutes. But anyway, John the 14th chapter. It says in verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father." And praise the Lord, you know, if we're abiding in Him and He in us, it says in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." Praise the Lord. He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And this is what, oh yes. Oh, He said in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Well, the plan of God. You know, Jesus knew that His span on earth, his time on earth was very limited. Actually, His ministry only 3.5 years, right? But you know, His ministry, His kingdom was going to continue, because He was going to send forth the Comforter, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. He was going to send forth the Comforter, it says, that He may abide with you forever. The plan of God, He's going to put His Spirit within us. Oh, yes, that we could cry, Abba, Father, that, oh, we could become His sons and His daughters. You know, He's going to come so that He could abide with us forever. You know, even when He was on earth, you know, I mean, you know, those that walked with Him, you know, I'm sure they were with Him a lot. But there were still moments, you know, when I was supposed they had to do their other things or whatever, or you know, that arrest, and so you know, there's a separation. But not so when he sends forth the Comforter. He puts the Comforter, the Spirit of the living God, within our hearts so that he may abide with us forever. And then he explains in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Oh, you're not going to get it, you know, unless you've given your heart over to the Lord. Unless your eyes have been opened so that you can see and understand those things that are spiritual. Oh, yes, the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. And he's talking to his own at this point. He's talking to the 11 that were with him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, we praise the Lord. Oh, his ministry was so, it was like he was cut off from the land of the living. So to speak, the devil thought he had gained the advantage of the first. Oh, yes, when they were crucifying the Lord Jesus. But not so. Oh, no, because death could not hold him, could it? Oh, no. He gave up the ghost. But, oh, praise the Lord. He was going to send that ghost. The ghost is the spirit of a departed one. Oh, he was going to send forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so that he could be abiding with his people forever. So that he could be in his people. Oh, praise the Lord. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise the Lord. That's what he promised here. Then he says in verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, praise the Lord. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how the Lord takes us. He made a way because he lives. Oh, death could not keep him. Oh, no. Oh, yes, he rose out of that tomb, didn't he? He was a risen Savior. Praise the Lord. Death could not hold him down. Oh, yes, and he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. He has the keys. Of hell. Oh, yes, and oh, yes. Here's his promise. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He's not walking here in physical form at the moment. But praise the Lord, what is it that he promised? Oh, that he would not leave us comfortless, but he would come unto us, that he would put his spirit within us, that he would send back his ghost. His Holy Spirit, his Holy Ghost. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, that life with Christ. Oh, not only this temporal world that we live in right now, but for all ages to come, for all eternity, because he lives. We can live also. Oh, that is the hope within us. Oh, yes, that hope that he puts deep within us. That living water that he sent forth. Oh, yes. That promise that he made that he would live in us. You know, in the 7th chapter of John, in verse 37, it tells us, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it explains in verse 39, But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, he was glorified. Oh yes, he went back to heaven. Oh, death could not keep him down. Oh, he was risen from that grave. Praise the Lord, and he had a glorified body. He is gone. Oh yes, he ascended back into heaven. And praise the Lord, because he lives, we can live also. We have that hope. We have that expectation. Oh, yes. Oh, that knowledge that, oh, yes. Oh, because he dwells in us when he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that we can live forever with him. Oh, yes, we are made alive. Those sins, those trespasses, they have been taken from us. Praise the Lord, we've been forgiven those sins and those trespasses. And we've been quickened. Praise the Lord. Again, that means that we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, because he lives. Oh, yes. Oh, because he has given us a hope beyond this world. Oh, because he has put his Spirit within our very being. And praise the Lord, because he sent back the precious Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, you know. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus said in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And then he went on to say in verse 11 here, in this 11th chapter of Luke, he said, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Oh dear. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Oh, praise the Lord, the Spirit, the willingness of our Heavenly Father to send forth His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we're evil in our nature, but we try to give good gifts to our children. And how much more, our Heavenly Father, will He give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that wonderful resurrecting power. Oh, that comes to dwell in our hearts. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Oh, let's call upon Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus, Lord. We ask that you would send forth your Spirit. Oh, God, we ask that you would move in us, that you would help us, Lord. Oh, God, that you talk to us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, let this word come alive. Oh, let it speak to our hearts. Oh, God, show us the way and help us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, we praise you, God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. Oh, we ask that you'd move among us. Oh, God, we ask that you talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, help Samuel too, Lord. He's not feeling well. I pray that you touch him. Oh, Lord Jesus, even now, Lord. Help him, Jesus. Oh, God, touch us, Lord. Move in us, Lord. You know the needs that we have need of before we ask or think. And I pray, O Lord, that you would pour out of thy mighty salvation, Lord. Oh, God, that you speak forth the words of life. Oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yes, it's not going to be able to come down, Samuel, but let's draw nigh to God. Oh, we know that because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Oh, we have hope in this earthen vessel, a hope that the Lord gives us. And praise the Lord, we have these moments right now to call upon Him, to make intercession. Oh, yes, to reach out to the living Lord. Oh, while we yet have breath, while we yet have time, can we draw nigh to God? Oh, God, we praise You, Jesus, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise Your name, Jesus. I'm going to call us to prayer. I'm going to open up these altars. I'm going to ask us, oh yes, to feel free to cry out to God and to receive of His promises. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love You. Oh, we praise You, Jesus. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Oh, we draw nigh to You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. Oh, we ask that You would pour forth of Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, the living waters, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, we love You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that You ever thought of us. Thank You, Lord, that You've saved us. Oh, Lord, thank You, God. We love You, Jesus. Oh, have Your way, Lord Jesus. Have Your way, Lord Jesus. Have Your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, give us those rivers of life, Lord, those living waters. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. I ask You to rebuke that illness in the name of Jesus. Ask, oh Lord, that You touch Sam. Oh Lord, that You heal him. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh Lord, we thank You, God. We praise You, Jesus. Praise You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Oh, we love You, God. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, God.
Healing hand touch, Samuel.
Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe we can turn to Chorus 98 there and sing. Let's sing because of the Lord's here. Number 98, and of course, walk here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.